Is it okay for a woman to speak up during a Sunday school class? Are John and Lisa Bevere credible teachers? And how can we know what God has called us to do? The answers to these questions when we understand the text.
This is When We Understand the Text, studying God's Word to reach all the riches of full assurance in Christ. Thank you for subscribing, and if this has ministered to you, please let others know about our program. Here once again is Pastor Gabe Hughes.
Thank you, Becky, and greetings, everyone. It is Friday, and on the Friday edition of the broadcast, we take questions from the listeners. You can submit a question by email to whenweunderstandthetext@gmail.com. Hey, I wanted to give you an update on our small library that we're putting together at our church. Several months ago, I had asked for book donations. And if you wanted to donate to When We Understand the Text, somehow sending a book would be a great way to do that, that we can contribute to our library. We've had some folks that have given books to us more than once. So appreciate that. We still have room. We still could take books. I haven't yet said, hey, we're good. Thanks. We've got enough books. We do have enough John MacArthur books. We practically have a John MacArthur library. So no more of those, because it started to get where we were getting extra copies of those books, which is fine. We can have more than one copy of Strange Fire, I suppose. But anyway, so you can send those books to 1220 West 8th Street, Junction City, Kansas, 66441. I'm sorry. I suppose the name of the church would be helpful. It's First Southern Baptist Church, 1220 West 8th Street, Junction City, Kansas, 66441. And again, thank you so much for listening to this broadcast, for praying for our church, and your support of this ministry. You can also support us with a money donation by going to www.utt.com. And you'll see the give tab there on the right side, the kind of the top right side on that menu there. All right, for my questions today, I'm going to start with the question that I didn't get to last week. I ran out of time, didn't get the chance to get to this question. So this is the one I'm going to begin with. And it has to do with one of our most popular What videos. And that's on Women Must Be Silent in Church. That's the title of the video, of course, with our customary question mark at the end of the title. Here's that video first, and then I'll get to the question.
What?
1 Timothy 2:11 says, "Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness." So according to the Bible, a woman is supposed to sit in church and be quiet, right? She's supposed to keep her mouth shut and leave the talking to the men.
Yeah, good luck with that, honey.
I love you, sweetie. All right, so that's not the meaning of that verse. Rather, it goes with the full instruction that follows. "I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet." The context here is church leadership, which continues on into chapter 3. Basically, a woman can't be a pastor or an elder in a church. That's no less controversial, but it's what the Bible says, and this instruction is universal to all people in all cultures at all times. It's not exclusive to the time period in which the Apostle Paul was writing this. How do we know that? Because Paul, exercising his authority as an apostle, goes all the way back to Adam and Eve with his explanation. "For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor." So because Adam was formed first, and because Eve was deceived by the serpent, a woman is prohibited from being an authority in the church. She can teach children, and she can teach other women, and she can lead others to Christ. Priscilla did that for Apollos along with her husband Aquila, but she can't be a pastor. Any church that appoints a woman as a pastor would be in biblical disobedience. There are other ways a woman can find godly fulfillment that a man cannot, but the authority in the church is commanded for men to step up and lead. Was that a good explanation, love?
Yes, very good, sweetheart.
Aw, thanks. And that's when we understand the text. That was the first thing Becky ever did with When We Understand the Text. The only video of ours I have with her voice in it. So anyway, she told me to stop telling her how many times that video has been seen. So related to that video, Denise wrote in and she said, "Dear Pastor, I stumbled on your YouTube channel this morning." This would have been over a week ago. "I love the content. I just have one question with the Women Must Be Silent in Church video. Is it okay for a woman like myself to share what we've learned in a Sunday school class under a male teacher? For example, in my Sunday school class, there was a discussion on whether we choose Jesus because the Bible said, according to one of the pupils in the class, that Jesus knocks on the door of our heart. I mentioned that the context was Revelation 3:20 and that Jesus was not knocking on an individual's heart, but on the door of the Church of Laodicea. You should have seen all the Bible flipping on that one. Did I step out of line? Should I have discussed this in private or not at all? I sincerely want to know. Well, thank you so much for watching the videos, and I'm so glad that you came upon them. Regarding the comment that you made in your Sunday school class, I would say it's less about speaking up as a man or a woman, and more about respecting the rules and expectations that the teacher has for his class. If the nature of the class is fairly open for discussion and includes both men and women, then I'm sure your correction regarding the out-of-context reference to Revelation 3:20 was just fine. But if it's a more structured class with limited discussion, then perhaps a personal approach would have been better. So long as these things were done gently and without quarreling and in good order, then I don't think that speaking up in this way is out of line. So just like the passage in 1 Timothy 2:11, we read in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 and 35, the women should keep silent in churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. And like 1 Timothy 2:11, the context here is regarding authoritative teaching and making judgments on the teaching. It is not an absolute prohibition on women speaking up in church. In neither location, not in 1 Timothy 2 and not in 1 Corinthians 14. Previously in 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul permitted women to pray aloud and even to prophesy, so long as they do not bring dishonor to their husbands. So speaking up in a Sunday school class is just fine. Now, I don't think it's appropriate for a woman to lead a Sunday school class in which there are men present. I think it should be that a man is either teaching a co-ed class or a men's class. And if a woman is going to teach a class, then it should be a class for women. But in those co-ed classes, if it's open discussion and the teacher is okay with that, then I would say it's okay to speak up and say calmly, again, don't quarrel about it. Don't get into any kind of heated discussion, but just calmly say, you know, I think the context in which you are bringing out that verse is not the way that that's presented in the scripture. The scripture presents it this way, and then, you know, kind of show them that they need to recheck things a little bit. So seemed all right to me, Denise. And thank you so much for, again, listening, watching and listening to When We Understand the Text. This next question comes from Kali in Montreal, Canada. Hello, Team What? Thank you very much for all the amazing work that you've done. Please, can you analyze the following video? It seems false, but I'm not sure. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to play this video. It's a little over 3 minutes long here. This is from John Bevere. This is not John Bevere speaking, but it's a video that's been put together to sell his book, Driven by Eternity. And so here is the video that Kali had linked me to.
Question. What are you called to do? I ask that question because we won't be judged according to what we did in life, but rather what we were called to do in life. Imagine with me standing before the throne of God and a scenario like this occur. Evangelist Anderson, come forth and give an account of your stewardship on earth. Evangelist Anderson, I'm not an evangelist. I'm an accountant. I had an accounting firm. I had an Evangelist Anderson. Where are the 347,566 souls I called you to impact in Asia, son? Where are they? I'm an accountant. I had an accounting firm. I help churches. I help ministries with their finances. Son, where are the 347,566 souls in Asia I called you to impact? Son, where are they? Had you sought me, had you sought my face, I would have revealed this to you. And everything in regards to that man's calling was burnt up before the judgment seat of Christ. Accountant Jones, step four and give an account of your stewardship. Accountant Jones?
No,
I pastored for 35 years. I had a membership of 750 people. Accountant Jones, I called you to the marketplace. Had you done this, you would have significantly impacted two people. You and those two men would have helped churches with their finances, and those churches would have impacted 751,321 souls. If you would have sought me, I would have revealed this to you. And again, in regards to this man's calling, everything he's done in life would be burned up before the judgment seat of Christ. Sister Smith, come forth and give an account of your stewardship. I only raised three children. I never preached to nations. I never even been on a missionary trip. I only tried my hardest to raise my children in your way. Sister Smith, I never called you to preach to nations. I never called you to go to other countries on missionary trips. I called you to raise three children. And let me show you the 1,579,541 souls those three children impacted. You sought me and you heard my voice. You were obedient to my call. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So remember, in regards to the calling that's on your life, you won't be judged according to what you did. You'll be judged according to what you were called to do.
Yeah, you won't be judged by what you did. You will be judged by what you were called to do, which is not in the Bible. And the passages of scripture that were used were taken way out of context for one reason and one reason only: to sell a book. All of this comes down to fear-mongering to sell John Bevere's book, Driven by Eternity. In fact, it was rather predictable how all of that was going to be laid out. Two men were shamed for what they didn't do, while the woman was praised for what she did. Now, why is that? Because it's usually women that buy these kinds of books. I'm not being sexist here. They are, in the way that they present this video. And not just any women, but specifically middle-aged women with an average of three kids, because that's the demographic. And so, of course, the narrator in there says, "I called you to raise three children." I used to go to classes for this stuff. When I was in Christian radio, I went to seminars and sat through class after class after class, teaching us how to market our ministry. And the primary demographic was middle-aged women with three children. Their husband did this kind of work. They lived in suburban America. They drove this kind of car. I mean, it was kind of ridiculous how they whittled down the details to this one particular type of person who was going to be most likely to invest in our ministry, which in this case was Christian radio. And John Bevere is marketing to that same kind of demographic with the kinds of books that he writes. And so that's why that video was structured in that way in particular. Now, how is it that you can possibly find out what you were called to do? Well, that's why you got to buy the book. The book tells you what it is that you were called to do. This video is just out to sell books, and in the process teaches some very terrible theology. At the beginning, the snake oil salesman, the narrator says we won't be judged according to what we did in life, but rather what we were called to do in life. And this mysterious calling that the narrator is referring to is completely ambiguous. How can you possibly know that you were called to be an accountant and not a minister. If we don't seek the face of God, according to the narrator, then we make wrong career choices. But seeking the face of God is not about choosing a career. It's about loving God with everything that we are. It's about being obedient wherever we are and in whatever we do. We lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles, and we run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. The Bible doesn't say anywhere that anyone is called to be an accountant. We are called to follow and obey Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 here, the greeting that Paul gives to the Corinthians in his first epistle to them. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So several times, just in that greeting, does Paul mention that we are called to do what? To be followers of Christ. Calling is not given any other context in the scriptures but that, to follow Christ and obey him. In Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." So what are we called to? This hope that is in Christ Jesus, that we would believe, that we would know Christ, that we would grow in the knowledge of him, and that we would follow him and obey him. This is what you're called to do. Not called to be an accountant, not called to be a minister, but in any of these things that you do, whatever your occupation is, you might be a police officer, you might be an accountant, you might be a secretary, you might be a plumber, you might be a stay-at-home mom, whatever it is that you do, do all these things to the glory of God. Don't be pining over your life and wondering, well, what if I'm not doing what I'm called to do? No, you are where you are supposed to be. Give God glory in it and be thankful to him for the opportunities that have been given to you, for this very chance to be able to serve in what it is that you are doing. We have it said to us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him." That's what you're called to do. So in whatever you do, give the glory to God. Now, here's my final argument related to this video. The video says we won't be judged according to what we did in life, but rather what we were called to do in life. That is incorrect. The Bible does say we will be judged not according to our calling, but according to what we have done. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. John Bevere and his wife Lisa Bevere are dominionists and false teachers. They are twisters of the word and have aligned themselves with the New Apostolic Reformation crowd. Have nothing to do with them. Very clearly, John Bevere teaches what is contrary to the scriptures. So let us be filled with the knowledge of him who loved us and called us to his glorious grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. God bless. Have a great weekend. Get thee to church. We'll be back again on Monday as we continue our study in 1 John. God willing, we'll talk to you then.
Gabriel Hughes is the pastor of First Southern Baptist Church in Junction City, Kansas. For all of our podcasts, episodes, videos, books, and more, visit our website at www.utt.com and let your friends know about our ministry. Join us again next week as we grow together in God's Word when we understand the text.